Hello, and welcome to Introducing Me, a podcast where we talk about culture, values, identity, goals, and so much more. I'm your host, Sarah. Normally, I would have a guest on my podcast so that you would hear their story, and you'd get to learn about a lot of different people who have walked multiple different lives. But I didn't think it made sense to start a podcast where I'm the host, and you really don't know who I am. So today's episode is just going to be an episode about me, where I talk, and I'm the only one you're going to listen to. My family always jokes that I love to talk and can talk for quite a long time, so you're in for that today. It's just me. So starting somewhere, I'll talk about my family. I grew up in Connecticut, which is in the northeast of the United States. My family has lived in the same house since I was born, since my older brother was born, but now it's just my mom and my dad because both me and my brother have moved out. I actually moved out of state. I'm now in central Pennsylvania. I came out here for college, which was something I always planned to do. I didn't necessarily plan to move to Pennsylvania, but I always planned on going to college. Both my parents went to college. It's actually where they met, and it was kind of always just expected of me. And being a millennial, you were taught that if you want to make money, if you want to have a successful life, then you go to college. And I never really thought anything different of that. So when I went to college, I was going to major in business. It was kind of what both of my parents did, and it's what my brother did, and I tend to follow in a lot of his footsteps. And so business undecided is where I started. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I just kind of knew that the business world was where I'd end up being. And after my first semester, I decided human resources was the focus I wanted to really emphasize and look into, rather than accounting or entrepreneurship or economics or any of the other options. But at the same time, I also added a music major. I had gotten a scholarship for non-majors, and the requirements for that scholarship included I take lessons and be in one large ensemble. Well, the band director, who was also my private lesson teacher, said I should get a music major. My school actually has a degree that's just a Bachelor's of Arts in Music that's designed that can, so it can be finished in 3 years and added to other majors or other minors, and I was able to do it. It meant I took a lot of courses throughout my 4 years, but I did it, and I'm really glad that I did. Graduating with 2 degrees, one in business and one in music at a liberal arts school with an outstanding business school, was something that I continue to be proud of today. To the point that I'm actually now working at the school I graduated from, not in human resources. I did work in human resources right after I graduated, but the job just wasn't quite the right fit for me. I wasn't feeling fulfilled and just wanted to do something different. So when I was looking to switch jobs, I was looking to go into higher education. I had worked at another college in human resources as kind of a student worker, and I really had enjoyed that. And I had worked multiple jobs while I was an undergrad in higher ed, and I just ended up back there now. Something, though, that I was always missing with these jobs is a creative outlet, and I never really knew what that was. After working for a couple years, I ended up joining a local band, which my band director was super proud of me because a lot of people who do music and graduate but don't go into music drop music. And I joined a band, I ended up joining a swing band, and I joined a second band. So if there wasn't a worldwide pandemic, I would be playing my trumpet a lot. But I play it significantly less now because only one band is able to meet outside socially distanced. But I wanted to do more than that. I wanted something else that kept me creative, even though I'm a really type A, organized, analytical person who's very boring at times. And I thought long and hard about what I wanted to do, and I thought about a lot of different options. I got really into blogging right after I graduated, but it wasn't something that I felt I would be able to promote, or what would I really talk about? I love traveling, but I don't travel a lot, so I can't have a travel blog, and I'm not a parent who has a beautiful home, and I can't have, you know, a family or a lifestyle blog. And I love finance and I love budgeting and money, but there are so many blogs already out there about that, and I didn't feel like I had the expertise to talk about that. So while I still follow a few blogs, blogging wasn't going to be what I wanted to do. I thought about photography for a while because I really like taking photos, and whenever I travel, I take a ton of photos. But then I realized I don't have the technology and I don't have the know-how, and I don't want to go down that road. Maybe photography isn't for me. I started following various YouTubers, and some of them were vloggers, and I thought, oh, that's really cool, but I'm literally at my job 40 hours a week. I can't vlog. I don't do anything interesting outside of work. When you consider the hours that you spend sleeping and the hours that you're in the office, there's not a lot of hours left in the day. And there's that meme where there's a triangle and you have three options and you can only pick two: sleep, work, and friends. My number one choice was always sleep. I'm not a functioning human being without my sleep. So sometimes I don't have a lot of time, free time outside of work and sleep. But I didn't really know what I wanted to do, and you know, it kind of just sat as a back burner of having a creative outlet so that I could do something new. And when in March I was sent home and told, you can't return to the office, you're working from home indefinitely now, I had to change my life. I no longer had things that I was doing after work, and I was home all the time. My boyfriend ended up stopped going into work, so he was home all the time, and while I was working, he wasn't. And you know, it was a different time. And one of the things I started doing while I had all of this, I didn't have a lot of free time, but while I was home and it was quiet, I started listening to podcasts. There was a podcast that had started the previous winter that I was really interested in and just hadn't found the time to listen to. And so I started listening to that podcast and a couple other podcasts, and I always thought, oh, that's really cool. But never did I thought, oh, I should start a podcast. That would be cool. That would be something that I could do. But now here I am starting a podcast, and I'm really excited. And it's also extremely nerve-wracking and something that I never would have thought that I could do. I am mostly an introvert, also kind of extroverted in that really middle line ground of either or. So when I was thinking about a podcast, there's kind of three kind of podcasts. One where you just talk, like today, one where you talk to the same person every episode, or one where you talk to different people every single episode. And I knew I wasn't going to talk by myself every single time. There's only so much you can do, and that would be really self-promotional, and that is not my strong suit. So then I was like, well, what if I wanted to talk to someone, the same person? And so I talked with my boyfriend, like, well, what if we did a podcast? But then it came back to the same issue I was running into. What would we talk about? What would we do to promote ourselves, to get people to want to listen to us? And it just didn't seem like the right option. So the third option, talk to a different person every single episode. I'm not someone who has a ton of friends, which I'm 100% okay with, but how am I supposed to get people to talk to me, and what are we going to talk about? Well, because I work in higher education, one of the big things just in general in higher education is diversity. And especially with the work from home time, one of the things that my department was doing was taking the IDI, which is the Intercultural Development Inventory. It's this scale where it shows you your intercultural mindset. And with that, we talked to a special coach and talked about different goals and thoughts and where are you in this mindset? Are you living a fully intercultural life or are you not? And where do you want to be with that? And I was lower on the scale than I wanted to be, but I also kind of knew that's where I'm going to be. I am white, and I have lived pretty much all of my life in a white-centered area where there just isn't a lot of diversity. I'm not a big fan of city living, and in most of the places that I have been around where they've actually been diverse is when I've been in a city. But growing up not going to a city very often, when I graduated college, I knew I wasn't going to a city. So anyway, I took this IDI, and one of my goals was, well, really one of my like self-decided goals. I wasn't told, hey, you need to do something. But I was like, I want to hear different stories. I want to learn about different people. And I want to just see what other people experience, people that aren't like me and people that are like me that just have stories that I don't know about. And so with that, I started looking up things on YouTube to see different stories and just have different experiences. And at the same time was when I was thinking, hey, maybe I should start a podcast. And lo and behold, here we are. I've decided to start a podcast where each episode I talk to someone different about their culture, values, identity, whatever it may be. And I'm really excited for it. I've reached out to a handful of people to guest with me to get the first couple of episodes going because I can't just say, oh, I'm going to start a podcast and have no guests. That would be a horrible business decision and makes absolutely no sense. So I have a couple people lined up, and it was really nerve-wracking sending those emails or those messages. And with most of them, I was kind of like, you don't have to say yes. It's okay if you don't want to do this, because that's me being not confident and not wanting to do this. Not that I don't want to do this, but just not wanting to put myself out there and getting that rejection. I think a lot of people hate being rejected, and I'm definitely one of them. But yeah, that's how we got to where we are today, where I'm starting a podcast and I've got all of these cool things lined up and I'm really excited. So a little bit more about me. What have I done, you know, in this cultural world? Who am I really? And one of the things that I love to talk about is my semester abroad. One of the things that my school does is require an intercultural experience when you're a student, and that can still be, you know, in the United States, or it can be going abroad. It can be for a couple weeks, it could be for an entire semester. And one of the things that actually got me to go to the school was this specific program that I went on. I spent about 12 weeks living in London, and during my time there, I visited 10 different countries, which is definitely a place of privilege and not something that everyone can do. And I'm extremely grateful for those experiences. I wish that I had been able to do more and see more, but it just wasn't necessarily feasible, and I was taking classes and doing projects, and I was there with 18 other students. And it was honestly just a life experience that opened my eyes to this world of travel. Prior to that, I had never been out of the United States. I had gone to the Caribbean on a Girl Scout trip when I was entering high school, but that was very much organized by someone else. I was still very young. We were on the beaches. We went to bioluminescence waters. And it just, that wasn't a big, it was big for me, but it wasn't nearly as big as I am in London. I am doing things by myself. I am doing things with other people, but I actually went to Paris with an organized group, but I was the only person that I knew. And if you had told me when I was a teenager that I would be going to Paris by myself, I would not have believed you. I did a lot of other things in London by myself, just kind of experiencing touristy things, but I also did it with some of my other classmates. So it's not like I was totally just out there fully on my own. But what was great was then when I came back to the United States and I graduated and I moved out to Central Pennsylvania by myself, I didn't want to do anything by myself. It was like when I was in London, I could go out and do whatever I wanted and I was by myself and that was okay. But once you put me back where I could run into someone that I knew, I didn't want to do it. I'm a little bit better now. I definitely do different things when it's not a worldwide pandemic. And I try to do things outside of my comfort zone. And in these past 2 years, I have traveled a bit. Nothing too crazy, but I've gone on experiences that I've never done before and been to new places. Not including Europe, I had never left the Eastern time zone of the United States. I've been up and down the coast, but I'd never actually been out west. And for the first time last year, I did that, which was really cool. Growing up, we didn't do a lot of vacations. What we would do is every year we would go to the beach. My mom's parents had a beach house that we now have inherited, and that was our vacation. It was what we did every year, and it was a routine and something that we really enjoy. But beyond that, we would go to Florida most years, which is where my dad's parents were snowbirds, where they would live there part of the year and live up north the other part of the year. But we stopped doing that kind of around the high school age, because scheduling got more complicated and it just wasn't feasible. But besides for those two like key places and Massachusetts, because my dad's parents also had a lake house, it wasn't something that I was doing. Like, I wasn't constantly traveling and visiting new places and seeing new things, which I'm 100% okay with. I really enjoyed my childhood, and definitely even all of those experiences, whenever I talk about them, I definitely know that I'm talking from that place of privilege again, that, you know, people don't have all these houses. And my mom talks about how when she grew up, she didn't realize that she lived in the big house on the corner, which I think really speaks volumes to how then she raised me and my brother, that we weren't doing these lavish things and we weren't really realizing whether or not we had a ton of money. We always lived within our means and we weren't doing things lavishly, but we knew kind of, hey, things are okay and we're in a good place. We didn't go to private school or anything, and we definitely don't live in a $1 million house, but we went to a really good school district and we got good educations, and we both were able to go to college and get into good schools and get good degrees and graduate and get jobs and all of that. And that's an awesome place to be able to be. So talking about my family, my mom, I mentioned that she inherited the beach house. She has an older sister. So my mom's side of the family is pretty small because it's just her and her sister and her sister's husband, and they have two children. And so that's just kind of another small nuclear four-person family. But my dad, whose parents are both still alive, is one of six. So on my dad's side, I'm one of 12 grandchildren, which is really fun. I'm kind of the middle there. We span 23 years of age, and I'm right in that little middle sweet spot, which is an interesting place to be. But we would see each other a lot over the summers when I was growing up. We see each other a little bit less now because as we start to get older and move away, it's just not as feasible. We still do try to get together for Thanksgiving every year, but not everyone's able to come. And we usually do a Christmas celebration as well. But, you know, as everyone gets older and people have different people in their lives, it gets a little bit more complicated. At my last job, I would get asked, oh, are you going home for Thanksgiving to see your family, knowing that I live 4 hours away? And because of where I worked, I had to work the day after Thanksgiving. So I would say, no, I can't go home. It's a 4-hour drive. And people would be really shocked because in central Pennsylvania, at least a lot of the people that I've known and met, family values are really big. Your whole extended family lives near you and you get together for all the big moments. And living in Connecticut, my dad's side of the family was pretty much all there within an hour's to drive from us. But we weren't getting together nearly as much as some of my friends out here do with their families. So for a couple years, I wasn't going home for Thanksgiving. I was missing those family moments, but I have a family here that always invited me, who I had lived with for a while. And I'm forever grateful for that. And it was something that I started being able to take in their traditions, which was really cool, to the point that the first year that I didn't have to work the day after Thanksgiving, I actually was going to miss the fact that I wasn't going to be able to make apple cider in the morning, because that was one of their big traditions. And I just, having done that for so many years, having a change to go back to my normal was really different for me. The other question they would ask at work is, oh, are you and your boyfriend spending the holidays together? I'd be like, nope. Which people were really shocked at. And it's like, but you've been dating for so long. And I'm like, but he goes home to his family and I go home to my family, and that's okay. And that's where we are right now. We've been together for about 5 years and we've been living together in central Pennsylvania for the past two. But that doesn't mean that our lives are completely one and that we do everything together. Yes, we live together, but, you know, we each have our different ways that we go. And when you don't have weeks of vacation time and all this time off, there's only so much that you can do for the holidays. So speaking about my boyfriend, a little bit about my relationship background going from now to previous. So as I said, we've been together for about 5 years. We did meet in college, but we did not start dating until after I had graduated. When I graduated, I was dating someone else, and we ended up breaking up. And going through all of that summer after graduation was really difficult for me, but I had become friends with my boyfriend, and he was just kind of someone that I could talk to and that I kept in touch with after graduation. And he went back to school because he was 1 year behind me. We were just friends. I had no intentions of kind of getting back into any relationships. I had been in relationships for so long, but I went back for homecoming before I had a job. So I still had no idea really what I was doing with my life. And I kind of ended up falling head over heels for him. And here we are, almost just about 5 years later, and we're still together. So our first year that we were dating, I ended up actually getting a job offer that week that he asked me out and moving out here a couple weeks later. And so we were close to each other, like literally 30 minutes driving, and we saw each other a good bit while he was in his last year at college, and then he graduated and he went back home. And then he moved to Indianapolis for 2 years, going to grad school, which is, I think it was about an 11-hour drive. I went out there twice in the entire 2 years, and we didn't see each other a lot, and long distance is definitely something that is difficult. I had tried doing long distance with my high school boyfriend, and in the beginning, it really just didn't work out. But Coleman and I, that's my boyfriend, we stuck it out. And then after he graduated, he didn't really know what he was going to do. And he ended up looking to come up here, and he applied for a job. And miraculously, he got the first job he applied for, which does not happen very often. And he ended up moving into my apartment a couple weeks later, and I actually went on vacation the first week he worked full time as an adult, which was probably really good for him to get that transition time in. And very shortly, that 2-bedroom apartment became much too small. And at that point, I had been wanting to move out of my apartment and buy a house. I had switched jobs and was kind of on the up and up of looking to the future, but I hadn't really looked at much of anything. But once he was living with me, I kind of knew, okay, I need something different. And I didn't want to share walls with anyone anymore. We had some difficult neighbors for a little while. And so I started looking at houses, and I toured a lot of houses with a realtor, and I ended up getting the one that I got because of a family friend. You know the right people, and it was a for sale by owner, which was very different than what I had expected. But the house that we're now in is just really great, and this past year I've made some improvements to it. And by that I mean hired people who can do a job better than me, and that is something I'm 100% okay with. And it's honestly been great this past year having our own space. It's a 3-bedroom, still only has one bathroom. The living room is so much bigger. The master bedroom, if you call it a master bedroom, is a little bit smaller. But just having my own space and him being able to have his own space is really nice. And I love that I was able to buy a house and have this space as my own. But when you're growing up and you think about the future, I never really thought, hey, I'm gonna buy a house before I'm married and going to live with someone who I'm dating, who I'm not married to. That was definitely taboo. My parents actually lived in, I believe, the same apartment complex, but they did not live together while they were dating up until they ended up getting married. And here I am, unwed, living with my boyfriend. But honestly, it works for us, and it's definitely okay. Growing up, I always envisioned that I would just be a stay-at-home mom. I was very fortunate that my mom was able to be a stay-at-home mom. My dad had a really great business job that allowed her to be able to do that. When they bought the house that I grew up in, they actually bought it only on my dad's salary, even though my mom was still full-time. And so I wanted to be like my mom. You grow up looking at these people who are like you and stay at home mom. That was my goal. But as I said, I wanted to go to college and I knew that business was where I wanted to be, but stay-at-home mom was still always there in the back of my mind. But shortly, I believe it was after I bought the house here, I sat down with Coleman and I said, I might not want to have children. And when, you know, we kind of had those conversations and we said, hey, that's okay. It might be in our future, it might not. That really made me feel like everything was okay. We did agree that if we do not have children, we at some point will most definitely have a pet, most likely a dog, maybe a cat. But my financial responsibility mindset says we can't do that right now. And especially with me being home a lot, still working from home some days, I wouldn't want to bring in an animal to that situation and then be leaving them for over 40 hours a week. The house is also definitely not set up for an animal. I have house set for people who have dogs and cats, and I definitely enjoy it. And Coleman grew up and has lived with cats and dogs and chickens and various animals, but it wasn't something that I grew up with, so it hasn't been a top priority for me. It's definitely something, though, that I really would like to have at some point when it's the right time. It's funny because I'm one of those people who really likes to plan things out in the future. So I'd love to know, hey, what kind of pet am I going to get and when am I going to get it? But this past year especially has definitely thrown me for a loop. And because I'm very type A and Coleman's very type B and the creative and more go with the flow, I've definitely learned and am, or at least I'm learning to try to be a lot more flexible. It's definitely something that I continue to work on. But some things I definitely like keeping as they always were. And that was really difficult when Coleman first moved in with me because I had been living alone and I had set up everything the way I wanted it to be. And I did this way and this that way. And I did things a lot, for the most part, the way that my mom did them. So learning to do things differently has definitely been a challenge, but there are definitely traditions that I have brought to the table and traditions that Coleman has brought to the table that we kind of continue to run by. And it's kind of fun to see how those things change throughout time. I actually bought a Christmas tree for my apartment after having lived there for a couple years. I really wanted to decorate and it wasn't real. I don't trust my responsibility in having a real tree and actually cleaning up after it. But I bought a fake tree at a thrift store on a whim when Coleman was living with me and he actually wasn't home. I don't remember where he was, but I bought it and put it up one day. And when he came home, there it was. I didn't tell him about it or anything. And now we have that tree here. We don't really put presents under it because we're not exchanging a lot of things. But it's just kind of this little thing that I get to keep. And, you know, we always had a tree growing up and we would have lots of presents underneath. And, you know, we don't really have a ton of traditions around Christmas. We're really not a religious family. I did go to church when I was younger, but it wasn't something that really stuck with us. I have gone to church with a couple of my friends who are very religious. And one of the things that's really nice about church is that community aspect. But it's just never something that I have sought out and found a need for. But one of the things that my family does that's kind of a Christmas tradition is our Christmas Eve dinner, which the main portion of Christmas Eve dinner is chicken wings, but also shrimp. And it's funny because when we go on vacation every year, we always have that dinner. So we have Christmas Eve in August. And it's little things like that that I don't think of, but that make my family unique. And I think everyone has these little stories that unless you kind of dig into yourself and say like, hey, what do we do that makes us special? And what are our little quirks? And what do we value? One of the things that I definitely value is honesty and communication, which in any relationship is something that is extremely important. But I don't think I really learned and valued that more until I was an adult and became more on my own and realized what those things really mean to me. to me, I also definitely value my education. I believe that there's always time to learn new things and there's always ways to be growing, and I appreciate all of those opportunities that I get and I look for them as I continue every day. But I don't ever really think of myself as someone who's an extremely cultured person because of the way that I have always defined culture. And in a lot of the last few months and learning new things and hearing different things on the radio, not the radio, I don't really listen to the radio except for when I drive, and even then I listen to music, and I only have like two talk show hosts that I actually like listening to. So quarantine has meant that I stopped listening to the radio. But when you see things on social media and you hear the different reports, you know, I've definitely started to try and change my mindset of culture and realize why things are good and why things are bad and what do different things mean. I definitely am someone who has always tried to stay away from politics. I think part of that is truly just I've never been someone who, when in school, liked history. I found it very boring, and I felt that you just had to memorize everything, and I didn't really see the need why. But I mean, it is clearly very important to learn from the past and have a better future. And so I kind of related that into politics. I've always gone and voted. I've exercised that right, but beyond saying, hey, I need to make sure I know who I should vote for, I haven't really taken an interest, which is on the complete opposite scale of my boyfriend, who has watched conventions and wants to know everything. And so I've definitely learned a lot in the past 2 years on different views and what matters. And I definitely was someone who did not realize why some things were wrong. So when the phrase Black Lives Matter was first said, I definitely was someone who was like, well, why aren't you saying all lives matter? And it took a while for me to see those conversations that in the short, all lives don't matter until Black lives do matter. And just kind of making that connection click of, well, when you look at all these statistics, it's not good. And you can't just look at those things and say, oh, well, I'm not going to do anything about it. And so everything that's been happening, it's hard for me in the area that I'm in, which is very conservative. But I definitely do what I can and continue to educate myself and see those posts and make sure I understand why we're changing the narrative, why we're saying different things, and what can we do to be better. I had another example of this same sort of thing where I didn't realize what was wrong until I actually kind of read the articles and heard from the voices that actually lived those lives. But for the life of me, I can't think of what it is. It's kind of funny. I know that this podcast has been a little bit all over the place, but that's honestly just my personality. I can pick up on one thing and go in a completely different directions in 5 seconds. I call my mom every weekend, and sometimes we get off on these tangents and we're like, how did we get here? What was I talking about that made me get here? So it should be really interesting when I'm listening back to this recording and I'm hearing what I'm saying and knowing that, hey, people are going to listen to this, and it'll definitely be interesting. So yeah, now here's the point of the podcast where I start to choose to wrap things up. But something that I want to do with all of my guests after they've told me their story is just a really fun, random question, because sometimes these conversations might be serious. I know mine was a little bit all over the place and kind of random, but it's just kind of some basic things about me so that you have a little bit more of an idea of who I am. So because I wanted a question that I didn't come up with and I didn't really know an answer to right off the top of my head, I literally searched online for random questions to ask people and searched through a couple lists until I found a question that I actually liked, because why choose the first one that you come up with? So the question that I have chosen for this random question segment is, if you could choose your dreams, what would you prefer to dream about? And I will be totally honest and say that if I could choose my dreams, I would choose not to dream and just go to sleep and then wake up in the morning and just have a night where my mind is not wandering, is not worrying, thinking, If I had to be visioning something, I would want to probably be on a beach and be fully relaxed, but I don't think at any point you ever really are fully relaxed until you're not thinking. So to me, it would just be purely sleep with no dreams instead of dreams that I can control. So that's the end of today. So for more information regarding the podcast, check out the description below, wherever you are currently listening to. If you'd like to connect with the podcast, the podcast does have a handle on Instagram and on Facebook at Introducing Me Podcast. The podcast will also be available up on YouTube. The plan is to have episodes up the weekend after they go online, and the episodes will include captions and an entire document with the full text from the recording, which will be generated after the recording is made. I also myself am on Instagram, which my handle is down below. And finally, if you'd like to support the podcast on Patreon, that is also an option. The lowest tier is $1, which is purely just thank you for your support. You'll get notices when they're posted, and it's just $1 a month. $3 does get you into a Discord, which gives you the direct option to talk with me and message with me. I will be there and active. And $5 and up is various different bonus content. So no need to feel like you have to support the podcast, but if you want to, that's always great because it is not a free thing to do. However, the podcast itself will always be free. If you like the podcast so much that you also want to actually be a guest on the podcast, you are more than welcome to email me. The podcast email is in the description as well. It is introducingmepodcast@gmail.com. You will hear a original episode next week that actually has a guest to kind of see and feel what that's like, and the next episodes after that. But I definitely encourage you to reach out if you have a story to share, or even if you're like me and don't necessarily feel like you have a story. Everyone has a story of some sort. But until next time, thanks for listening. Bye.